Okay, let's get started. You ready?
Yep.
I want to start by congratulating you as an artist and a caring human being who I've known for, I think, now over 4 years. Even though I've never met you in person, I've known you by listening to you, even though I've never really heard you consciously, except when we talk on the phone.
as many people have not.
Yes. You're the voice that's never been heard all around the world.
Until now.
Until now, exactly. So I want to congratulate you as an artist, because the body of work that you have created, as I, you know, recognize it in that sense, that as a musician, as an artist, as a human being caring for other people, because these titles are just full of ideas and things, concepts that I know that you could not have come up with unless you were really thinking about other people. It's an amazing body of work. I've originally purchased almost every one of your titles, and then through getting to know you and working with it, you know, managed to be able to make them available, at least for a limited time, to people who are working with me with the mind power.
Appreciate the things you've done on your end as well. I think it's important to have tools for people that are easy to implement.
That's one of the things about these subliminal audios that's so attractive, is that all the person needs to do is just put it on and let it work.
Hit the play button.
Yeah. Now, how does it happen that someone can just listen to what sounds like white noise or an air conditioner hissing, and they actually have their behavior change in their life?
That's just the conscious perception. We are constantly receiving just scores and scores of messages and signals on the periphery of our consciousness. One example is that you have peripheral vision. If your vision is healthy, you have an area where you're focusing, and then you have several things that happen on the periphery, to the left, to the right, above and below your area of visual focus. Your subconscious mind is taking in all of this information, even if what you're considering consciously is only what is in the center of that focus. Now, we're hearing a lot of things. You may be working, and you're hearing a distant siren. You're hearing a car go by. You're hearing a dog bark. You're hearing someone shut a door in another part of the building. And these things may not be enough to distract you from what you're thinking about or what you're actually listening to. Say you're listening to someone else talk and there's all these other noises. So we have the ability to take things in on the periphery of our hearing. And what happens with audio subliminal programming is that the commands, they're called commands, or the scripts, which are offering you suggestions which will change your behavior, change your self-image, and allow you to move forward and repair some things without consciously focusing on it. All of these are recorded just below the threshold of conscious perception. There's somewhat of an art to it. It's somewhat of a science. It took me several years, I would say. I spent at least 10 years working with the audio aspects of this kind of thing before I ever thought about it being a commercial product. I was interested in the technology, and I was interested in helping myself and a few of my friends. And after several attempts at that over a period of years, I got good at it. And as is the case, you often do well at something maybe you didn't set out to do, and then there's a need for it in the universe, and so you get tapped on the shoulder. So I consider myself a subliminalizer who did not intend to become one. I just wanted to change some things for myself. And of course, then once you see that something works, if you're scientific, you have to say, why does it work? So you have to go back and kind of back engineer things and begin to actually, in this case, what I had to do was to help build the new paradigm for what is subliminal programming and what will it mean in the future? And I think in the future it will be used therapeutically in ways that we really haven't even begun to scratch yet.
The creativity behind the nature of some of the titles. I mean, you have some of the standard titles like Stop Smoking, Stop Drinking, and Weight Loss, and other titles for success and so on. But many of your titles, I've always been impressed with the originality. Power Circle, for example, or some of the titles for what we used to talk about together. I don't even know the language for it. It's something new and different that you seem to have tapped into, how people connect with other people.
I'll tell you the way that some of these titles come about. It's very organic. Is I will either witness in myself or in another person an obstacle. Everyone thinks they know what's wrong with everybody else. You always say, oh, well, their problem is, and then it's usually something rather cliched and easy. But sometimes if you dig a little, you find where there's a hidden wall that somebody's up against, whether it's your own or somebody else's. You go, gee, there's just nothing that really addresses something like self-sabotage or that addresses the importance, like with what you mentioned, of how important it is, no matter what you do, that you are in a community of other people who can help you get ahead if it's something professional. And so those are the places where Yes, I think there were some creative kind of titles, but the ideas behind them really addressed maybe some needs that had just fallen through the cracks, whereas people who teach people about prosperity and things like that can change your attitude about money all day long, but there may be some other hidden obstacle, such as, gee, I still need to have some skills that I can improve, or I still need to have my talents. I still need to make other people aware that I can perform these tasks that may lead me to prosperity. If you put a candle under a bushel, if you hide the candle, nobody can see it. So there are so many places where people are just about fixed up and ready to go, and yet there's some little nagging obstacle that maybe they had not thought about. But very often, when they're looking through all of these titles, the names are descriptive enough to where they go, oh, wait a minute, now there's something I didn't think about. I think that could be a problem too. So they'll use that product in conjunction with a larger self-improvement program, and I think it's a big benefit that way.
Presenting these titles to many people all over the world for quite a few years now, you must have some memorable success stories, either from the early days when you were first experimenting or stories that you've heard about people who've been using the products over the years.
I was making these titles for people just one at a time. I was just learning how to do this. And there was a lady who wanted to lose weight, and she realized that her weight problem was primarily centered around her diet. She ate a lot of very fattening foods, a lot of very greasy, bad food. As much as she wanted to eat a healthier diet, she just couldn't let go of the thought that this was, that what she was currently eating was comfort food from her childhood that was good for her. But, you know, science has since told us that raw foods are better, and that, you know, you have to have so many fresh fruits and vegetables or you're not getting good nutrition. So I made her a program based on that. I hate to think of using anyone as a guinea pig, but of course you have to do a little bit of a blind study here and just see what's going to happen. I made her, half of the program was addressing her diet. The other half of the program gave her a preference for fresh strawberries. The program, it was on a tape at the time, a long time ago, and gave it to her and just let her run with it. And she was thrilled when I called her about 6 or 7 weeks later. She'd been eating great. She'd lost a certain amount of weight that had surprised her because she was eating fresh foods and, you know, good roughage and all this. And she said, come by. So I went by. And keeping in mind now, she knew nothing about my focus on her program for strawberries. Well, she had fresh strawberries in the refrigerator, But it was more than that. She had just redone some of the decorations in her home. She had pictures of strawberries she had purchased. She had strawberry incense. She had her paper towels in the kitchen had a strawberry print. I remember she had just purchased some little coasters for her coffee table that were porcelain strawberries. And there were even curtains in her kitchen now that she showed me. She said, "Isn't this nice? I love these new curtains." You can guess. It had strawberry print on the curtains. And I asked her about it. I said, "You sure like strawberries?" And she said, "You know, I do. I never realized that I did before."
Wow.
So that told me, that was one of the first instances where I went, gee, you know, this is not a placebo effect. This is not you're listening to some lucky subliminal tape and you just think you're going to get what you're going to get. She had no idea that I had addressed that particular fruit, and yet she became enamored with them. And by the way, we don't do strawberry programming anymore. But that was one of the first, and I considered it a milepost in my own realizing that what was going on was actual, and this was really, the messages were actually hitting the subconscious, that the power of suggestion actually had nothing to do with this. This was actual subconscious programming. Now, the second thing I can tell you about, it's very interesting. Someone in, I think it was in the United Kingdom, bought several titles. At the time, the titles were very discreetly packaged only with a number. So you didn't actually, you were responsible for knowing that if you bought three titles, that this number was this title and this number was this title. And that way, I felt like from the beginning it was better for people if they had one of these in their car and someone got in. You don't necessarily want to go out on a first date and have the date find something that says self-confidence or something in your car. So because of the privacy and the discretion and everything of the customer. So we just had the numbers. Well, this person in England had initially been rather disappointed because they had thought they were using a title and yet nothing was happening along those lines. And I'm sorry, I can't remember the specifics of which title. Then they wrote me excited because they said something else had been going on in my life that was very positive, and I didn't know why it was happening then, and I'd actually purchased a title for that but had not begun using it. I did not think until I checked the numbers, saw that I'd gotten them switched.
Oh, my goodness.
Actually, what was happening in their life, they then realized was a result of this title that they had absolutely no idea they were using. So, again, that was a later on kind of milepost, that, and there have been several like that, that just told me that, look, this stuff is objectively going into the mind. It's objectively taking root in someone's subconsciousness and working its way out to the consciousness. Cool. And, again, this is where we kind of talk about paradigm writing. You're exploring a new frontier, and for many years now, this whole thing has just fascinated me. It's a source of endless fascination that the first 5 years of our life are called the formative years, and they're very important, I think, from the subconscious point of view, because things are going in every day, but we never know where what will stick. And a lot of times the personality that a person then has at age 10, 15, 20, 25, the rest of their life is formed by things that teachers, parents, relatives, peers have communicated during those first years. We all end up, I think, with some things that are tainted, have gone astray, are not true, things that may well indeed affect our self-image for the rest of our lives. And they could have just been said in a moment of anger or ignorance during those first 5 years. Subliminal programming obviously addresses that. It's kind of like being able to go in and rewrite some of those early views of a person's self-image, a person's reality, their world, to rewrite that. In that sense, it is miraculous to me and miraculously hopeful for millions of people once they understand what this is and how it can work for them.
I've had so much success using your titles for years. I've used so many of your titles and done so many experiments with whether they work. I don't think that it's possible to really convince somebody that they work or not because of the nature of the fact that it's subliminal. How do you explain, not in a way of trying to make somebody believe that it works, but from your own experience, knowing how they work?
One of my favorite slogans is, the map is not the territory. So that no matter how good your map is, it's always going to leave out some of the trees and rocks and things of that nature. And we're at a place right now where we almost have to use analogies and metaphor to explain how we believe this is going on. One of the things that I am convinced of is that the way to the subconscious is two-pronged. For one, the first prong is that it's important that the messages don't involve the conscious. That's because we've built up resistance to certain ideas. And the conscious mind is not generally comfortable with change. It does not easily accept a new reality. Now, in some ways, this is good, because the purpose of the conscious mind is to do very, very mundane tasks. Add up your grocery bill, balance your checking account, remember to get something out of the car. Just a number of things that are just very basic. And you really would not want a conscious mind that could be convinced of anything, because obviously someone could come up and tell you some horrible thing and it would completely panic you whether it were true or not. Now, the subconscious is different. The subconscious will accept things as being true, but there's also a safety latch on the subconscious that we have been miraculously created with. And that is, past a certain age, for the subliminal signals to really take root, it requires a high frequency of input. Therefore, if you just hear someone say something subconsciously, say in the next room, and your conscious mind doesn't really register it, your subconscious will take that information as a bit of information. However, if that's the last time that it's ever presented to the subconscious, it just gets stored. Nothing really happens to it. But when a message, the same message, and fortunately with recording technology, something sounds the same way every time. So with a loop that is running over and over and over, we meet the two criteria. We meet the first criteria that it must bypass some people have called it a sentry or a guard, which stands guard in the conscious mind to keep out unwanted information. It must bypass that completely. The second criteria is that we've met the criteria of frequency, is that the message goes in over and over and over. And this is also why in commercial applications, which you can ask me about as well, where they have anti-theft subliminals that may run in certain department stores and things like this. This is why the longer you're in that store, the more you begin to sense something. Usually it's that you don't want to be caught stealing anything, whether you were thinking about it or not. But frequency is a very important factor. The exact number of times that it is going to take for a specific message to have an effect on a specific individual is entirely it's entirely up to the circumstance, and it's entirely based on how deeply ingrained the previous programming is. So it may be just a matter of days before someone with one problem is able to reverse it with subliminal programming. It may take several weeks for the same message to register with the subconscious that someone else is carrying. It really is something that, fortunately, we don't have to work out all the math. We just have to make sure that the frequency is happening and continue until you begin to see those results, generally within 27 to 32 days or something.
Of listening once a day or something like that?
Once a day.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
And I do believe that you can speed up the implementation time, but there's a limit, so that twice a day, 2 hours a day, may be better than 1 hour a day, but at some point, 15 hours a day is not necessarily 15 times better. The frequency happening over a period, a cycle of, say, a month is very important, and as psychologists have noted, it takes a human about a month to form a new habit anyway. You also have to be in the habit of turning on the machine.
Right.
Aside from that, usually within, like I said, 27 to 32 days, prior to that, you begin to see some changes. And then once you begin to see changes, you can develop a sense of it. It's hard to describe if you've never had it happen. If you've ever had the feeling of deja vu, I'll tell you, it's a very similar sensation that only lasts a moment when you realize that something is going on different in the subconscious and it's making a very positive change.
Yes, I've felt that many times. It is a very subtle but amazing feeling to, you actually can tell. That's how I've been able to tell, besides the external results materializing. I actually could feel that, wow, it's working. Something's changed. Now, I don't want to take up any more of your time, but I do want to ask you two more quick questions. Would that be all right with you?
Oh, absolutely.
First of all, since you've been doing this for so long, and there's, I think, over 75 titles, what are the most popular titles that people order?
I was surprised about the ones that address self-sabotage. People, depending on their level of personal accountability for themselves, have every reason in the world as to why they can't get ahead or why they're not happy or why something is happening. It seems like it used to be very seldom that people were actually aware enough to say, gee, I'm doing it to myself. I was surprised that many people began to realize once they read about some of these titles, is that they were actually stopping themselves. Now, whether or not this was for, more than likely it was, reasons of a sense of personal unworthiness or a self-image problem or some type of unresolved guilt, and they were actually, you know, they may be qualified for, say, a really good job, or they may be a really nice person, and maybe they could find a great person to have a relationship with, but they were just constantly self-sabotaging things. And I think that has been a big one, and the one that surprised me. Obviously, people, especially in North America and most Western countries, people tend to put on a little extra weight. There are weight loss is a very big one, and I think that's true throughout the self-improvement arena. Other things that address issues which may drill down to things like weight loss, a sense of self-worth and a personal empowerment, and a sense of knowing that it's okay to be okay. If you remember a book from many years ago, I'm Okay, You're Okay. And what most people now don't realize is when the book came out, it was considered rather edgy, because to say that you were okay was actually, in the 70s, kind of a new idea. Most people didn't think they were okay.
Mm.
I do think people, their self-image is getting a little better, maybe because parents now are being a little more careful with what they tell their children about themselves when they're little. Hopefully, in many cases, that's it. The worthiness aspect of it has been the thing that kind of surprised me in terms of which subliminal programs people really gravitate towards. And then you have the things where actually you cannot help sometimes but notice what an individual has ordered. There was one case where a lady ordered three titles. It's kind of humorous. She ordered, the first title was to get over some type of heartbreak, which there's one for that. The second title was to clear self-sabotage so she would not hook up with anybody that would break her heart again. And the third title was to find someone new. And so sometimes you can see that it's obvious how people are planning ahead. And I think that's the other wonderful thing about this. You know, so often a person will have some very specific problems, and they will look into a certain path to address those problems. The great thing about subliminal programming, especially when there are so many titles, is that you can determine exactly which ones you need and just focus on that. It's not like religion where you have to buy into an entire cosmology to have any benefits from whatever they're claiming you'll get. It's not like medical science where it's really out of your hands and solving one problem may create another problem. It's just about what you're looking to change. And that's what I really liked about the idea of having so many titles that dealt with things on many different levels.
You asked me to ask you about the commercial applications, and I know we've talked about that a little bit before. People have approached you or things that you know about how subliminal programming is actually being used out there in the world on a commercial level.
Many things I don't know, and some things I'd almost be reluctant to discuss publicly, but there are not, to my knowledge, that many subliminalizers that are working openly, as I was for many years. This is probably one of the rarest jobs in the world. So far as I know, you can't get a degree in this. You can't. There's no place for anybody to teach you. I consider myself maybe the second generation of pioneers in this technology. And we have no peerage. We don't have conventions. We don't share information. We don't publish papers. So it's very much an exclusive type of vocation. So I, over the years, have been approached by department stores that wanted to do subliminal programming in their stores for anti-theft, which I know is out there already. I've also been approached by a pharmaceutical company, which I don't even want to talk about that much, but it was a very frightening idea to think that they were going to use some commercial application to, I'm not sure what, either make people ill or just make them trust their medicine. I didn't even get into it to find out because I wanted nothing to do with that. And I was approached by one unnamed restaurant chain to do things for their chain. I declined all of these offers because they seemed to me to be invasive. And it just wasn't the type of work that I wanted to do. I would be very discouraged if I found out that people in huge pinnacles of power were either using or had access to this technology. At the same time, I hope they never get it if they don't. It's that powerful of a thing, where if you can control the media, you can certainly control minds to some degree. Again, it's going to take frequency. So people ask me, well, do you know that for sure, that there are subliminal messages in commercials? Well, of course I believe there are subliminal messages in commercials. My early experiences with subliminal programming, I was actually a broadcaster. This was the first place where I ever tried it. And I could see that the clients who had subliminals in their commercials came back and bought more commercials because their campaigns worked better than those who didn't. But this was in a medium-sized city in radio. But if I could do that, I know someone else is doing it. The second thing is, when you ask about frequency, because I've said that it may take several weeks of exposure in order to allow yourself to experience a deep change, well, the natural question would be, then how can you do that in a 30-second or a 60-second radio or television commercial? The reason that it works in a commercial is because the change that is actually required of the target person is much less. For me to develop a completely new image about my body or my personality or my mind, that's a pretty deep thing, and that takes a little while. But for me to select one shampoo over another or one chewing gum over another, it's a very minor thing. I don't believe that you need as much subliminal exposure to change something that has very minor consequences for your life. That's why it works, radio and television commercials, much quicker than it works on the personal empowerment level.
It's an amazing, valuable opportunity that I've had to speak with you over the years, and now I'm very grateful that you spent the time that we could share some of your knowledge and your experience, and as you said, what's a very difficult field to actually find anything out about. I think that this is going to be a valuable recording for people to listen to and have more of an understanding and a direct connection to the person who actually is the artist behind the subliminal audio library that we're presenting.
There is an element of art here. If you consider that art is something that has an impact on people, and I know this technology does, and I would love to be able to come back in 200 years and see where the technology has gone. Obviously, in the United States, we're under a lot of restrictions from the AMA and all sorts of professional groups in terms of healthcare, and alternative health practitioners obviously have to be very careful in what they promise from a therapy and things of this nature. But I do believe that down the road, this will be used for many healing applications. I believe that down the road, this will be used to increase the power of the conscious mind. And we've often heard that we use 10% of our minds. I think that can be greatly expanded, and I think you could see our descendants in a couple of hundred years using this technology and other similar ones and other things, other developments to come. I think you could see people becoming, I don't know if you want to say superhuman, but certainly comparatively to now, I think that we're going to be able to enrich our lives greatly with these and similar technologies, because the subconscious mind is that last frontier, and once we get a foothold there, there's really no limit as to what humanity can accomplish. And I appreciate this opportunity to share it with the thousands of people that you'll have listening.
Thank you so much for this interview, this time, and especially for creating this body of work and making it available to people, and letting me be able to share it with the people that I know, at least for a limited time. I really, over the years, have come to appreciate the caring and the heartfelt concern that you have, and the creativity to do something about many of the problems that human beings are having, and to address it in a innovative and highly technological and yet very human and caring and loving way.
One of the most rewarding things to me is to have gotten emails from people who initially came to me saying, I'm just not very social. I really want to meet someone to marry and have a life with, but I've got these obstacles or whatever. And so they would then later credit this technology for having made it possible for them to be more socially proactive and to meet people and to hook up with somebody and get married. And when you get an email with a picture of a baby on it, and someone is saying, you don't have to pay for the child, you don't have to change their diaper, but we want you to know that I really believe you played a role in this child. I have children of my own, so I know how special they are. And when you get an email from someone with a picture of a baby that says, look what you helped to bring about, that's extremely rewarding, not to mention all of the things that are just other things that when people give you that feedback and say thanks, it's better than money. It's better than anything, because you know that you've been able to influence a sphere beyond just your own concerns, and to actually help pull some people up who were having problems. There's nothing like that. There's nothing as good as humanitarian concerns being fulfilled.
If anybody was worried that there's only dark forces out there controlling the world, then hopefully you'll realize that there's actually forces of light and goodness working behind the scenes. And if you want to hear more from the artist who created all these titles, certainly can order some of the titles, and you'll hear plenty of him, but only subconsciously.
Only subconsciously. I'm one of the good subliminalized. Thank you so much for having me on.
You're welcome. Have a nice evening, and thank you for being with us.